Revelation chapter number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. We'll begin in verse number 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look into the scriptures this morning, I pray, Lord, that you'll be magnified. Oh, Lord, I want folks to be able to see you. Lord, I want them to think about you, and I want them to honor you. And Lord, we want to love you, and we want to fear you. And God, thank you for all the things that you are for us, all the things that you, Lord, do for us, all of the ways you show your love to us. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would have more love of an awe and a love and a respect for our great God because we were here this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. As soon as you're seated, if you'll position your Bible so that you're ready to turn the pages, and I'm going to have you look back at Revelation chapter 1, verse number 4, and I want to read that verse, and then I'm going to have you flip with me through the book of the Revelation, and I want to look at every verse. I'm going to read it to you, give you a second to find it, and read you every verse where we see the throne of God mentioned in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 1, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Chapter 3, if you will. Let's go there. Verse number 21. Chapter 3, verse number 21. Bible says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Chapter 4, if you will, verse number 2. Chapter 4, verse number 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Look at verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Look at verse 4. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Look at verse number 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Look at verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Look down to verse number 9, same chapter. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Verse 10. And 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Look at verse 6 of that same chapter, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. Look at verse 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Look at verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Look at verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Look at chapter 6, verse number 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Chapter number 7, if you look at verse number 9, chapter 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Look at verse 10. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Look at verse 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Look at verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Look at verse 17, chapter 7, verse 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Chapter 8, verse number 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, if you'll skip to chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 3. Chapter 14, verse number 3. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144 and 4,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Look at verse number 5. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Revelation chapter 16, if you look in verse number 17. 16, verse number 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. Look in Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 4. 19 and verse number 4. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God which sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. Look at verse number 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11. Chapter 20, verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Look, if you will, in chapter 20, verse 21, verse 5, chapter 21 and verse number 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Revelation 22, and look at verse number 1, chapter 22 and verse number 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And look at verse number 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. We have just read every verse in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ that mentions the word throne, or mentions the throne of God. By the way, I think as you can see now, it is the centerpiece of eternity future. The throne is important, folks, because of who sits upon the throne. The throne is majestic because of the majesty of the one who sits on the throne. The throne is holy because of the holiness of the one who sits on the throne. The throne is bright because of the brightness of the one who sits on the throne. The throne is great because of the greatness of the one who sits on the throne. The throne is significant because of the significance of the one who sits on the throne. The throne is powerful because of the power of the one who sits on the throne. The throne is eternal because of the eternality of the one who sits on the throne. I'm going to draw your attention this morning to heaven, and I want to preach on the throne of heaven, the throne of heaven. Number one, the throne of heaven is the seat of absolute authority. God rules and reigns from his throne. He has for all eternity. Psalms 93, we read, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Psalms 11, verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold the eyelids, and his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and in a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. How about Isaiah? His own testimony in chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Folks, I want to just let you know this, that there's only one that's going to reign in heaven. There's no committees in heaven. There's no legislative branch in heaven. There's no corrupt judicial system in heaven. There's no liberal media to question and condemn the one who sits on the throne. Heaven is an absolute monarchy with a holy and righteous King. By the way, good news, who loves his children and has prepared a wonderful and sinless place for them to dwell for all eternity. The word throne in the Bible comes from the Greek word thronos, a stately seat, by implication, a seat of power, the seat of a potentate, the seat of supreme authority. So every time you see the throne of God mentioned in the book of Revelation, it's to remind you that God will rule and God will reign from his throne for all eternity. If you scour the earth, you'll find man-made thrones with some little L Lord who sits over some little earthly kingdom and exercises some measure of power. But there's only one throne where the Lord of Lords shall sit and reign over the universe of man. If you scour the invisible creation, you'll find invisible thrones where little g gods, former Indian or angels that were kicked out, sit in temporary dominion over a geographical area, ruling over a deceived people, and some are even worshipped. But there's only one throne where the God of gods sits and rules over all creation, both visible and invisible. If you scour the earth, you'll find occasionally a gaudy throne where a self-proclaimed human king sits in earthly splendor, wears a temporary crown. But there's only one throne where the King of Kings presides. Only one throne where every knee shall bow. Only one throne where every tongue will confess. Only one throne where every crown will be thrown and surrendered at his feet. God never has, folks, and never will vacate his throne. His rule is absolute. He is and was and always will occupy the place of supreme position, supreme authority, and supreme power, and that is the way heaven will be ruled. Number one, the throne in heaven is the seat of absolute authority. Number two, the throne in heaven is the place where every man will meet God. where every single man will meet God. Hebrews chapter 9 says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment, it is an appointed meeting." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether absent, present, or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Isaiah 45, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear." Romans chapter 14, verse 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account to of himself to God." I love Philippians chapter 2. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Folks, listen to me. Every man will keep his appointment at the throne of God in heaven. The atheist will then believe. The blasphemer will then confess. The profaner will then praise. The corrupt comedian will no longer be laughing. The PhD will grovel in his ignorance. The so-called scientist will apologize to the creator of the universe. The liberal will become a Bible-believing conservative. The mocker will moan. The curser will cry. The agnostic will agonize. The proud will be humbled, and the humble will be exalted. The God-hater will beat his chest in fear, and the unbeliever will shake and quake in fear. Every man will confess. Every woman will confess. Every child will confess to the one who sits upon the throne. There's a throne where you will keep your appointment. There's a throne where you will stand in judgment. There's a throne where you will appear. You will appear. There is a throne where you'll receive the things done in your body. There's a throne where your knee will bow. There's a throne where your tongue will confess. There's a throne where you will give an account of yourself to God. There's a throne where every idle word will be accounted for. There's a throne where crowns will be thrown. There's a throne where rewards will be lost. There's a throne where tears will be shed. There's a throne where things in heaven shall bow. And there's a throne where things on earth shall bow, and things under the earth shall bow. There's a throne where every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Folks, listen to me. Let's not forget about that throne. Let's not forget that one of these days we'll kneel at that throne. Number three, the throne in heaven will host two different judgments. And I want to stop and explain this a little bit, do a little Bible teaching now. In Revelation chapter 4, you notice we read a lot of verses that talked about the throne. And then we got in Revelation chapter number 20, and we also saw there a throne, a great white throne. Go back, if you will, to Revelation chapter 4, and I want us to look at this first throne. What is this first throne, preacher? And when will men first appear before God at the throne of God? Well, it happens right after the next event on God's prophetic calendar. In Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. I may preach on the doors and windows in heaven. I've got 21 messages, and I'm trying to figure out how many of these to go for, but I may get them all. I don't know. I don't think I can get stopped on this subject. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first door which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Folks, this is a picture of the rapture. This is the next event on God's prophetic calendar. This is the thing that we're waiting for and longing for. This is the blessed hope. This is what we pray for and look for. And this is the thing that all of the signs of all that's happening around us is pointing to, the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know in the rapture that only those that are truly saved will be taken from this earth, will meet the Lord in the air, and will be taken on up into heaven. So this throne that we're going to appear before, the people that are appearing at this throne are the saved people from all over the earth. This will be the first judgment seat. This is going to be the one where the saved will go. Folks, as I mentioned in Sunday school, at this judgment seat, we will not stand there for God to determine whether or not we go to heaven or whether or not we go to hell. That's already been settled. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free, and is in my heart's a song buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. Now, folks, listen, we're going to stand at this seat as Christians. We're going to be standing at this seat with our sins washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stand there as children, but we're going to report to our Father, our Abba Father. We're going to report to Dad, and we're going to explain what we did with the time that he gave us here on this earth. And folks, this is where we will either be rewarded or suffer the loss of rewards. This will be a determining factor, as we taught in our Sunday school hour, what kind of a glorified body we'll eventually receive. There's a lot of things that'll be hashed out at the judgment seat of Christ, folks, but this is where the saved of all the earth will be judged, and this will be happening in heaven, while on earth, the earth is going through 7 years of tribulation period. Even though those that are saved when the rapture happened are all taken up, during the tribulation period, there will be other groups of people that get saved during the tribulation period and are slain for the cause of Christ that also appear at this throne, and you'll see that scattered throughout the book of the Revelation. But this throne, by the way, let me point out some really exciting things about this throne. I've had you turn to chapter 4 for a reason. This is the throne of the rainbow. This is the throne of the rainbow. Thank God for the rainbow. If you look there, it says in verse number 2, and immediately I was in the spirit, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. I'm going to tell you something. You want to be at the throne where the rainbow is, okay? Because that rainbow was a promise that God gave Noah, and it's a promise of no judgment. Folks, listen to me. I'm not giving us a permission slip to sin. I'm not giving us a permission slip to not live a holy life. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to stand that day and answer for my sin. I've heard preachers try to suggest the idea that, you know, a big projector is going to be put on the board and every sinful thing that you ever did, everybody's going to see. No, I'm going to tell you something. There's a rainbow on that throne. There's grace at that throne. There's mercy at that throne. There's forgiveness of that throne. And every single thing that Jerry Ross has ever committed will be washed under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. And I will be viewed by God through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why I'll be able to go to heaven. Not on my own merit, not on my own goodness, but because of the throne of grace. By the way, if you're a big sinner as I am, you ought to be saying amen right now, all right? That your sins aren't going to be, don't sit there with like a mossy back, perfect Baptist and act like that you aren't glad that that day is covered in the blood, amen? It's not about our sins, it's about our service. It's not about our sins, it's about our sacrifice. Come on now. It's not about our sins, it's about our obedience to the Lord and how willing we were to really live for eternal things. Whether we laid our treasures down on earth, by the way, the Antichrist is going to get them.
or whether we spend our life living, laying up treasures in heaven. And so, folks, that's going to be an exciting, exciting day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, all of a sudden, we get to the end of the tribulation period. Go all the way to Revelation chapter number 20. And by the way, now the devil that deceived them, Bible says in verse 10, was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The devil's had his fun. He had his 7 years. He put up for a short time his little fake trinity. But you know what? The false prophet's now in the lake of fire. And the beast is in the lake of fire. And the devil's in the lake of fire. But wait a minute. What about the rest of mankind? Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne. White throne. Say, preacher, do you think this is a different throne? No, I think that the throne reflects the personality of God, the mood of God. And you know what? When the Christians came, the rainbow came. But when those Christ rejectors show up at the foot of this throne, you know what they're going to see? They're going to see a white like they've never seen. They're going to see a holiness like they've never seen. And they're going to realize that they cannot gain access to heaven on the merits of their own goodness. Our righteousness that day will be in comparison to the holiness of God as the filthy rags that it truly is. Here are the people that didn't think they needed the blood of Jesus Christ. They thought they were good enough to get to heaven on their own. They thought if they were busied themselves with enough religious activity, it would earn them a way to heaven. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There'll be no boasting, listen, at the rainbow throne. We're going to all understand why we're getting to go to heaven. And it ain't going to be on any of our merit. It'll be because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's folks that said, I don't need Jesus. I don't need that blood. I'm good enough. So you know what? They're going to get a chance to see how good their good is. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man, how? According to their works. You think you're going to get to heaven based on your good works? You're going to have a chance to have those works revealed in this day. Think about this. And death and hell were cast to the lake of fire. This is the second death. That first throne, the rainbow throne, is a throne of a rainbow. It's the throne of reward. It's the throne of worship as we take those rewards and we cast them at the feet of Jesus. But this throne is a throne of holiness, and this throne is a throne of fear. The Bible says that from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. You know what? God's going to be in a judging mood. God's going to be in a casting mood. God's going to remove the lid to the lake of fire. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to sweep the refuse of the human race who thought themselves not in need of salvation, who thought with their own good works and their own merit that they could face God one day. Well, guess what? Here's your chance. First of all, he says, let's open the books. Aren't you glad that when we get to the rainbow throne, come on, the rainbow throne, that all of our sins are going to be under the blood? But these folks thought that they were good enough. They didn't need that blood to cover their sins. So the books that are open is every single detail of their vile, sinful life. God's going to say, you think your good works measures up to my holiness? Let's just start going through the book. One by one, page by page, lie by lie, wicked thought by wicked thought, thief of stealing by stealing, everything that you've done, everything that you've thought, everything that will be exposed one right after another. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to fall on their face in the face of pure holiness and realize at that point, I'm a sinner and I'm worthy of heaven and I need help to get there. But wait a minute. You were too busy to come to church. No, you needed to go camping. No, softball was more important. Come on, moms and dads. Look behind you at the great white throne. There's the kids and the grandkids that you raised out of church. Those are the kids and the grandkids that you more interested in. Taught them the most important thing was to make all the money you can. That's who's going to be behind you that day. And you know what? You're going to have an opportunity to compare your good works to the holiness of God. And you know what you're going to find out? We don't measure up, folks. None of us do. So what happens that day? The sea gives up the dead which were in it. Listen, there's going to be nowhere to hide. There's going to be nowhere to hide. You will keep this appointment. This is a throne of holiness. This is a throne of fear. Hebrews 10:31 is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This is a throne of no escape, no escape. This is a throne of eternal judgment. And death and hell were cast to the lake of fire. This is the second death. So we've gone through the books. Now we're going to go to the book. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Hey, preacher, is my name in there? Well, let me ask you a question. Has there been a day where you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm not saying you understand everything that the Bible, but you understood that you were a sinner. You felt the conviction of God upon your life. You felt the drawing of the Father. And you know what? You understood that Jesus died for you, was buried, and rose again. You accepted him as your Savior. You know what? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When God hears that prayer of a repentant heart, you know what? He looks over at the angel and says, write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't have to read Revelation chapter 20 and quake and fear and wonder. I'm not going to spend 1 second tonight with my head on my pillow worried about what's going to happen if I take my last breath. It's nice to know that you're born again. It's nice to be saved. Number four, the throne in heaven will be the regular gathering place for God's children. You say, preacher, after this throne turns first rainbow and then white, what after that? What happens after that? Well, folks, the throne becomes a special place, a wonderful place. Revelation chapter 22, I'll just read a few verses. Chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water, of life. Well, you didn't see that when it was white. There wasn't no water of life coming out of it when it was the great white throne. But you know what? Now all of that's been dealt with. All that's left of the saved of all eternity. And you know what? All of a sudden, here the throne changes again. And he shall be a pure river out of water, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. I like that. That's the water of life. We're going to get to drink of the water of life. Okay? Water of life. That means something. Proceeds out of the throne of God. You're going to want to come and get that water. You're going to want to come and spend time there. Okay? In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit in every month, and the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. What do you think about that? By the way, you're going to want to hang around at that tree. Hey, preacher, are we going to get to drink in heaven? Yeah, we're going to drink the water of life. Preacher, but I'm a Coke person. You know, I'm going to tell you something. This is better than Coke. I know. Some of you aren't looking like you believe it. It's better than Coke. How many Coke people are there? How many Pepsi people are there? How many say, I don't drink pop. It's an abomination before God. All right. How many Coke Zeros? Is there anybody but me? All right, come on now. All right. That's what the definition of compromise is right there. All right. So, brother, I'm going to tell you something. You never drunk anything like coming out of this. You know, look crazy. Think about this tree of life. The Bible says that which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielding her fruit every month. Think about that. That means the first month you'll come to the tree of life and it'll have a type of fruit and it'll be delicious. And you go to the same tree the next month and there's a different type of fruit, but it's still delicious. And by the way, we're going to need to eat of the tree of life. We're going to need to drink of the river, the water of life. They're named that for a reason. And where do they exist? Where are they? At the throne of God. So I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be a happy place. It's going to be a place of gathering. It's going to be a place of fellowship. I'm just going to tell you, Jerry Ross, I don't believe that we spend all of our time there. I think the Bible says that God made a new heaven and a new earth. But I believe that when the tree blooms and the fruit comes every single month, there will be a regathering of everybody. Say, what do we do in the in-between times? We get to go and see the new heaven and the new earth. We need to get to spend time with people. We need to go see this earth that's been recreated with no curse of sin. We get to experience fellowship and fun, and we're going to hang out with family. Yeah, family, yeah. Folks, you listen, you spent your whole time with your family here. It's not like they're going to be strangers there. You know, the Bible talks about that seeing God and with them was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Saw them all in the same place. You know, your family's going to be precious to you, only you're going to have a bigger family. You're going to be a child of God. You're going to get to talk with people, walk with people. And you know what? Hey, you know, we'll gather and we'll worship God and we'll drink of that water. We'll eat of that fruit. And then you know what? I don't know how long that'll go on. I mean, I don't think anybody's looking at a clock. But at some point we'll say, hey, you know what? Let's go take a look at this. And somebody will come up and say, have you checked out a Jupiter? It's been remade. It is really cool. You need to go see Jupiter. I'll say, let's go. And you know what? In our glorified bodies, we're going to, you say, preacher, I really believe that. I really believe that. I think that we're going to be able to, sometimes I'll go with this group of people and I'll come back. And other times I'll say, you know what? I want to hang out with this group of people. And then I'll say, hey, Paul, you got anybody going with you? No, I got Peter, but me and him don't get along anyway. So come on. And you know, you can help referee our fights. We're still arguing about some doctrinal things, you know. And so let's go. Let's go. I'm going to tell you what I feel like. I mean this, folks. I wish you'd really understood. I wish you could really see the heart of your pastor. I hate the clock. I hate the limited time. I hate the fact that you know, I get to spend so many little time with so many of the people that are the dearest in the world to me. And you know, you have your life and everything that pulls at you, and I have my life, and we're just trying to serve God. But there's going to be a time where we're going to just be able to walk all over heaven. We're going to be able to fellowship. We're going to be able to catch up. We're going to get to be able to spend all the time that we wish we could spend with each other, and we just can't, you know. And I mean, I feel that way about my own family sometimes. It's like I'm 100 miles an hour, and but Lord, you know, let's be busy. Folks, let's work while it's still day. The night cometh when no man work. So I'm not apologizing for it. I'm just going to say there's going to be a lot of makeup time. Brother Matt will have plenty of time to try to catch fish in that crystal clear river, all right. And you know, even up there, you might even be able to catch one up there, you know. So it's going to be heaven, brother. It's going to be heaven. Yeah, amen. Oh, it's going to be great. The throne of God. But the center point, the center place, the drawing place. See how many times we read that? How many times we read about the throne of God? Everything revolves. Everything is drawn back again and again and again. Where? To the throne of God. You know what? You're never going to get tired, young people. Whether you think you will or not, you're never going to get tired of bowing at the feet of the one who sits on the throne. You're never going to get tired of looking at the nail-scarred hands. You're never going to get tired of being able to get in line and get up and nestle up against Jesus and tell him just one more time, thank you. Look at all I got to do. And Jesus, I went and seen this. And this is... And my mom and my dad, you took care of him, that little baby that we had to kiss and take to baby land. And you've taken care of my family. And folks, you're going to be glad you serve God. You're going to be glad that you told people about Jesus. You're going to be glad you can look around and see some of these. Come on, bus captains. You're going to have bus kids running up and jumping in your arms and saying, thank you for coming and picking me up. Thank you. Thank you. It's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the throne. God, thank you that you sit on the throne in heaven. The devil tried to usurp that throne. He was cast out. Thank you for being greater. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, we see men and we see the devil trying to, down here on earth, mimic and copy what's in heaven. And a man rises up for a while, and it seems like he's a big deal, and maybe he conquers part of the earth, and he has some man fashion him a crown, and he has some tailor make him royal garments, and he makes people bow down, but it's just for a fleeting vapor. Thank you that there's only one King of Kings. There's only one God of Gods. There's only one Lord of Lords. Lord, I pray, dear God, that as Christians, we would determine in our hearts, we will bow our knee to only one God, to only one King, to the Lord of Lords. That is where our allegiance remains, that's where our loyalty will stand. Help us always, Lord, to love you supremely above anything and everything else. And thank you, Lord, for the invitation that you give us. Even now, before we get to heaven, the invitation to come boldly through the throne of grace, that we can visit that place now through prayer. And Lord, that we can seek you, seek your help, and get your power, Lord, and get your provision, and count on your protection. Lord, thank you, dear God, for being God, just for being you. Pray these things in Jesus' name.